thank you, Jeff. I guess I come with two pieces of bad news. One of them is I am not Dr. Grisheim. That is, for some of you, maybe bad news. The other part of that is I'm not even Irish, so you got to think about that when I make my presentation. Today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the world as we understand it, some of the things that have happened in the last decade, the last year, and emphasize a little bit about what we're going to be seeing in the future. Now today, we're going to talk a little bit about what some of this means, but by the time you're through the end of this week, you'll have an opportunity to hear a lot about the innovations and technologies that will move us forward. That's extremely important. Everyone in this room should walk away with something new to use, and I hope that everyone here will have something to think about that will actually change their life. So let's go back. Let's rewind. Many of you were here last year. We ended up this presentation with the Global 500 by talking about this idea of branding. Some of you took away with you and said, yeah, that's a really neat idea, but we really have a neat concept there and something that everyone should understand. This idea of branding, putting yourself out there so everyone can see you and understand what you're doing, is a very key concept to the business community, and it goes all the way down to the dairy farm. You have to be recognized for what you do. What was the importance of branding? Well, last year when we ended up, we talked about a challenging situation. We talked about two different products. One of them you'll recognize, the other one you'll recognize, but one of them would just automatically come to your mind. You'd even see the logo if you saw it. And that first one is a material that has lots of attributes to it. It talks about something that has a lot of sugar in it, rots your teeth, and rough nails, causes diabetes associated with obesity. This is a material that is out there, and we all commonly run into it. It probably has some nutritional value, but it's fairly low. But let's compare that to the other product, which is one you would pick out as being nutritionally important. It's calcium, proteins, it's considered nature's ideal food, if you'd like, excellent for nutritional value, and it's capable of enhancing, or being enhanced in its formulation. So the choice is yours. If you were out there shopping in the grocery store, which one of these would you really look at? Well, the first one you'd recognize right away. That's Coca-Cola. That's a brand name that everyone, universally around the world, will understand. Right? Everyone would know that. I can go into a restaurant in China and say, I'll have a Coke. Everyone will know exactly what I'm thinking about, and the demand is there because that name recognition is very important. But the other side of this, the other product we talked about, is the one that nutritionally makes sense, health-wise makes sense, and one that we need to understand. It probably costs a lot less than the other one. Its nutritional value is much better. Overall, if you pick this out of the list I gave you before, you'd actually go for milk as your product. But the difference here, the differentiating fact, is straightforward. Coke is recognized, and the branding of that product is really what makes it important. Now, that's a concept you need to walk away with. We talked about it last year, and we're moving forward with that. But let's look at 2010. This is an opportunity that Alltech had to move forward with the branding concept. And I want you to realize how important this is to moving this company forward and actually moving the industry forward as we think about the future. And here is our branding effort. Everyone in this room is probably aware of the sponsorship of the Alltech FBI World Western Games. And this was an exercise that, as a scientist, I said, I'll never be involved in anything like that. But I got caught up in it over the last year, year and a half. And at the end of October, the beginning of October, we had had a wonderful experience, and believe me, we were branded around the world, and everyone knew who we were. This is an event that attracted over 500,000 people. We had over 6,000 students, school students, at this event. 752 horses were at this event, a major effort, and something that you could see around the world. This was really built around the concept of showing what the future of farming can do. It carries the All-Tech name with it. And just a short video to show you how some of the demonstrations went at this particular event.
Led to an evolution. It's changed what we think of as a company.
Yes, food supplementation, manufacturing of food materials is something that will continue to be part of all things. But it really has changed what we think about as we move forward in the next decade, the next 10 decades, what this company really looks like. And it is part of this evolutionary process that comes with becoming this super brand, which is a goal that Dr. Lyons laid out for us probably 10 years ago, saying we're going to change what this industry looks like. And I dare say, not only did we change what Alltech looks like, we've changed the view of the industry and the potential future of farming and the livestock industry overall. We're going to have to go back to basics now. We've got to go back, October 11th came, we've got to redo our thought processes and think about where we're going. So it is truly back to basics time for us. And this meeting is truly the first meeting after or post the equestrian games. And it will hopefully show you that we are moving forward. And as an industry, we have lots of opportunity to make some major changes. Yes, we're going to go back to address the issues, the challenges that the industry has. But now we have a new twist. We can carry with us confidence that we know how to move forward and can address the world with a considerable amount of confidence that we never had before. That's fantastic. Is that everybody with me on this? I don't see a lot of excitement here. Is everybody just asleep? Oh. Actually, it is a very exciting thing to see happen. It is a wonderful change for us to move forward, and hopefully by the time you leave this event, you will see this. Now, one of the problems that comes with this is your credibility, but you have to maintain your quality of these products that you're producing. And this, for the industry right now, this idea of traceability, producing quality products, is a major issue that will be facing us in the next decade. We've got to come up with ways of improving our credibility, showing that we know what we're doing, and that we're producing a quality product at the end of the day. This is going to take a combination of social networking, it's going to take a combination of publicity, but more and more it's going to take information and technology that will help us drive that forward. We're not going to be able to just sit back and use the old techniques, the old nutrition, the old ideas on production and marketing. We're going to have to change what we're doing, and traceability is going to be a major issue here. We talked about this last year when we were here, how important traceability is in terms of the reputation of the industry, what it means in our food chain, what it means to our daily health as we move forward. But it is an issue that we will need to address. And putting our innovative minds, our entrepreneurial minds, to that project is extremely important today. And we actually will be, and talk a little bit about the innovations and traceability that will be coming down the road. Well, we're at a stage right now, science is giving us tools that we never had before. We're going to do things in the next decade that we've never even dreamed possible, and we will be able to track our food products, their quality, and their ability to make the system work and meet our dreams of having quality materials. Some of this comes at the very molecular level. We won't get into a lot of that, but as a scientist, we've really revolutionized what we do. We can recognize these cows now. We can recognize their genetics. And at this point in time, I can tell you what they ate and what toxins they have been exposed to by looking at a very molecular approach to their development. The latest technologies. We talked a lot about gene chips. You've heard about these from Alltech for a long time. But these are very powerful tools. They're changing what we think about in terms of production. They've had an impact for a number of years in genetics. And now we're trying to use those to do different things and get some better ideas out there. This is a quote that came from a fellow that gave a presentation earlier this year at the Nutrigenomics Conference in New Zealand. And at this particular instance, he was talking about the tools that will drive us forward in the food industry. his number one tool was this thing called nutrigenomics. Using molecular techniques, using our ability to measure what a nutrient does in terms of influencing gene expression, changing the way we look at these animals and the way they're producing, this is going to be a revolution that changes what we do in terms of product ideas and product concepts. Now, I know a lot of you probably, I said the term gene expression, you just turned off the switch and said, that's not important. But it is going to be important. Right now, we're going to be changing what nutritionists think based on that concept and on what we do in terms of animal management. And we can do that. The future coming from the science, it's fast. It's moving quickly. We're understanding production responses and nutritional management based on what's happening at a very basic level. We can improve animal health. We're talking about improving performance and improving fertility in these animals. And this is due to measurements, things that we've never seen before. We never even knew these things existed, if you'd like, before. So how can the gene tell you this? How can this type of technology really work? Well, it's been shown several times now, at least in our group, we can actually show you what is causing the production responses you're seeing. When I put a mineral into the diet, I can now go in and say, well, I know this gene are changing. A lot of you don't care about that. You don't care what a lactoferrin gene does in the animal. But by golly, that changes that animal's health and makes that calf grow and prevents disease. But we can see that. We never saw that before. We saw that in the future. How can we look at production? We've actually done this, and this is an example that we've used before, but it's a very informative example. Looking at two forms of selenium in milk production. One is the inorganic form that was typically used in feed supplements, the organic sodium selenite, and the other is a yeast-based product of selenium yeast. The things that happen in that system are very important. We actually can see that milk production goes up if we compare two forms of selenium. Same diet, but two different forms of selenium. Now, those of you that do any nutrition say, well, we have a selenium requirement. We meet that requirement, the animal does better. Why is it then that if we change the form of that selenium and put it into an organic form, we get something totally different? That changes nutrition completely. I have to go back and rewrite the book saying, what does this mean? I don't know what a selenium requirement is anymore. But we can actually show that this kind of supplementation strategy changes productivity of the animals. And in fact, when we registered selenium yeast in Europe, they allowed us to make a claim for more than 4 pounds of milk per animal per day. That's pretty amazing. That's just based on a single nutrient and what we're going to do. Well, how do you make that? How do you measure that? How do you know what that really means? Well, it goes back to some very basic chemistry, and I'm not going to bog you down with this, but there is a thing in the cell called mitochondria. That is the energy that's producing part of the cell. Every cell has one. It's necessary for all processes. But this thing makes energy. It provides the currency, if you'd like, that makes the system work. Well, we can actually go through and look at that then at the very basic gene level. And we can show you that genes in that mitochondria that are responsible for energy metabolism are changing. They're being upregulated by the organic form of selenium. Okay. We're not giving a quiz on this. Everybody's with me right now. We just talked about mitochondria. We talked about genes. Very important, though. These are the things that make this system work. Now, what I'm telling you is I know what's going on in that mitochondria. I'm upregulating, turning on genes that are responsible for energy metabolism. No time in the past has a nutritionist been able to tell you why there's more energy coming out of the system. I can do that now. I can use a very basic mechanism, and I can look at a calf and say, these are the genes that I would like to turn on to get more energy into that animal. and improve the efficiency of that animal in a way that's never been done before. Using a nutrient we didn't even think was important in energy metabolism. Doesn't that get you excited? Any excitement here? Hey, I heard some giggles. I don't know what that means, but it is excitement. But that is the whole difference of what we're doing and moving to the future. So we've got increased ATP, that energy is made, more energy, more efficient utilization, more energy for production, and that is the reason why all of this is happening. But we can measure this in a place we've never seen before. We're seeing something we've never seen before, and we're measuring efficiency not at the animal level, not at the intestinal level, but at an individual mitochondrial level, individual cells, and we're telling you why these things are more efficient. That is going to be the revolution that changes what you think about. I'm tempted to tell you to go take your NRC books and tear them up and throw them away because we're about to change what that whole thing looks like and what we know about energy in the past. So, this one I have changed just a little bit. They didn't like the words that I used before. But we're really exposing Mother Nature's greatest secrets now. We can open up the door. We can see things that we've never seen before. This is not small potatoes here. This is like when they split the first atom. They made the hydrogen bomb, they split the atom. I'm showing you the science at that level. That's how important this is as we move forward. Mother Nature has no secrets anymore. We're going to be able to tell you about this very quickly. And as a result, we can tell you about fertility, longevity, disease resistance, and even a newer concept, nutritional conditioning. Changing what's happening in the calf by changing the cow's digestion and nutrition. Those are things that are going to take place here in the next several years. And we're going to see that. And again, we've never been able to see that kind of thing before. So, agriculture moves to the new speed. We don't have to wait for months and months to evaluate nutritional concepts. These things can be done almost in real time. You start feeding today, and 2 days later, I'm going to be able to tell you what you're doing to that animal and how to take care of that animal to improve production, fertility, and effects that we've never even thought about before. And it can be done rapidly. So that's where this science is leading us. It's leading us to new ideas in programming nutrition. You're not going to only think about what you're feeding the animal, but you're going to think about when you feed it. Do you realize how important the first 48 hours is in a calf's life? Yeah, you know that's going to prevent disease. That's when they get the cluster that prevents disease here. But it also tells that animal how to regulate its nutrition the rest of its life. By simple adaptations of that very early nutrition, we can change the phosphorus requirement of the adult animal or the growing animal and change what it's doing throughout its life. Did you know how to do that before? You knew how to prevent disease, but you didn't know how to understand that process. And it's truly what's going to change what you're doing. And here's part of our problem. The nutritionist. Now, I can say this. I'm a nutritionist. I'm not looking down at anybody, but I was trained as a nutritionist. But here's what we start thinking. Well, we really don't understand how this works. And I'm really not sure I want to make a recommendation on this. My livelihood depends on whether I do this right. And so I don't have the understanding of mine. I'm not going to do it that way. Well, we're going to have to figure out a way to get that nutritionist on board. We're going to have to figure out a way to get everyone in the same place to understand what's going on with this. Because we are going to change nutrition, whether we bring all of us along as nutritionists or whether we do it individually, these changes are coming. So we can think outside the box here, and that's the thing that is probably going to be most difficult. We're going to have to be some brave souls stepping out here and doing some of this stuff. And I think we've been fairly successful in getting some of that going. This last year, this concept that we developed, or a lot of it came up last year when we were talking among ourselves in the several groups at this meeting, we talked about what's the role of the room as a room nutritionist, microbiologist. I knew exactly what that room did. I know what that's to make break down fiber, and I know it has to make microbial protein. That system's going to work. Those are the two things I expect this room to do. But what happens if I change that paradigm a little bit? And we can do that right now. What if we can take nitrogen metabolism and we can actually provide that cow with microbial protein? Okay, think about this just a little bit. I don't have to synthesize microbial protein. I don't have a recycling that goes on with microbial protein, but I'm actually going to provide that in the diet. You're going to hear about this a lot this week, so start taking your notes now because it's going to change what you think about nitrogen metabolism. We have to worry about fiber digestion or carbohydrate metabolism. But if you really look at that and you go to a traditional nutritionist and I'd be one of those and say, well, this really can't be done. We really can't do that. We don't have the technology to do that. Sorry, guys, but this last year and a half, we've actually shown that we have that technology, and we have a way of providing a microbial protein that does not need to be degraded and ruined, and is passed on to that animal. Probably the highest quality protein that animal can receive is coming that way. And if this is coupled into the right management system formulation, you have the potential of changing nitrogen metabolism. You can take what you thought you knew about food protein requirements and dairy cattle and throw them out the window. And I think Jay will probably show you that sometime during this meeting. Can't do that. Well, that's not the question. We can do it now. What is going to be the ramifications from that? And that's the thinking out of the box. This idea of DDMP, dietary escape microbial protein, is one that is taking off. And we are starting to understand that we can prevent nitrogen recycling in this system, the energy losses associated with that, the nitrogen losses, and change completely what we thought was important in terms of nitrogen in the cow. How do we project this? And this is the challenge. Well, I went to Dr. Lyons and said, well, I've talked to five nutritionists, and they don't think we can do this, but they're willing to listen. He said, well, how do we get the word out? How do we get people to start sharing information? We don't want to have a roadblock simply because it hasn't been done before. So this is where he came up with the idea. And the more I thought about this, the more excited I got about it. Is why don't we make a club? Why don't we get these people together and start sharing this information that's important? And you're going to hear more about this probably throughout this week. The idea of putting together groups of people that can take and actually champion some of these ideas. Some of them are going to fail. Some of them aren't going to work exactly the way we thought. But we do have an opportunity now to move this along. And it will open doors for us, opportunities to test out some of these ideas. We can share information, what's happening in terms of diet formulation, actually come up with lower cost diets. And that's one of the things that will actually drive this and provide nutritional support. The things that have to go alongside these new concepts to make them work. This is a neat idea. Think about it just a little bit. Wouldn't you like to be part of a group that shares the latest information about a specific concept, in this case, nitrogen metabolism, and kind of get your heads around that before you have to talk to your nutritionist and try to decide how to use these types of concepts? Very exciting. Nutrition's going to change. Everything's going to change here for the animals. There's lots of other opportunities that are coming out of this, and I would be remiss if I didn't show you how some of these concepts, this idea of genomics, the things we're doing at the molecular level will change your lives. And one of these is one that we're moving forward in an area that we're calling Alltech Life Science, is the ability to alter human health, particularly neurological function in humans. This was built around some of the concepts we measured when we were looking at selenium in CellPlex, but really is an antioxidant story. What happens if you provide antioxidants to protect brain tissue? And probably the biggest one here is Alzheimer's disease. This is a tremendous problem. The impact of Alzheimer's disease is tremendous. We're talking about something here that's a progressive disease, irreversible. Once you got it, you're going to have to do anything about it. And the sad thing about it is that if we live long enough, everyone in this room will probably get Alzheimer's someday. Your brain function is going to deteriorate as a result of this damage. For about 4 to 5 million Americans, that number will be 16 million Americans by 2050. It is a tremendous drain on what we have for resources. It's estimated it would cost somewhere around $100 billion annually to take care of people with this disorder in the future. But the thing about Alzheimer's disease is you can do things early on that slow its development. You can always prevent the onset of Alzheimer's disease. And if you can offset that by about 5 years, to delay that onset, in the United States, that would result in about a 50% reduction in the number of people that actually have the disease. So when you take that 16 million people and cut it down to 8 million, and it changes the whole way we look at this. So I don't think there is anything, well, I know there is absolutely nothing they're going to do about this from the drug side. Lots of things have been tried, there's lots of ways to slow this process, but nutritional approaches, particularly those associated with antioxidants, will very much move this forward. Now, there are actually two things that happen in the brain with Alzheimer's disease. One of them is the formation of these things, these protein plaques, these islands, if you like, proteins in the nerve cells. These plaques actually are proteins that are formed in the system. They surround the nerve cell and cause all sorts of problems with transmission of the nerve impulses, but they also ultimately destroy the cells that are we have another thing called a neurofibrillary tangle, which is a disease process that puts these little fibers inside the cell. And as those fibers grow, they tend to disrupt cellular metabolism. They're also the ones that kill the neurons and the cells in the brain. Oftentimes these are stimulated by oxidative stress. So anything you can do dietarily that will prevent that oxidative stress from taking place, whether it be selenium supplementation, vitamin D, or whatever, has the potential of preventing that disease. So the gene chip work has actually shown us how we can address this problem. We knew what kind of genes we had to influence in that brain tissue to prevent these problems from developing, and we've actually developed then fundamental strategies that will prevent these pathologies, these plaques, and these fibers from forming in the tissue. We found those genes, we've gone in and looked at it, and we've looked at antioxidants, and particularly organic selenium, as a way of preventing this process. And we found that in these systems, about 12% of the genes will respond in a positive way to antioxidants and selenium supplementation. So we can actually take that information and look at gene expression patterns now and find a way to to prevent these pathologies from taking place. Tremendous tool here, taking what we learned in animals to the human aspect and really changing what we think about. Again, this is a way or an evolution that we're starting to see as we look at basic animal nutrition and move it into the human application. And we can actually see these things taking place. We can actually show, get going the right direction here with this. We can actually show the plaques formation. This is a normal diet. Here's one we have the cell-like antioxidant system in. You can actually see the plaques developing here. And you don't find those in the mouse tissue that is coming from those particular systems. So we can look at Alzheimer's disease. We can look at cancer. We can look at the aging process. All of those are very important. The cancer area is one that's very interesting. It has a direct impact on what we think about in the dairy industry. We can actually start thinking about using milk as a functional food product to deliver cancer prevention technology. And in this particular case, we were looking at several different forms of selenium, looking to see what happens. And what is done with these particular studies, we're looking at a mouse model for cancer. And in the mouse model for cancer, they actually put cancerous tissue or cancerous cells into the brain tissue or into the carotid artery. It goes to the brain tissue in mice. And when you do that, you can actually watch the development of the tissue or the tumors within that brain. Now, this material you put in, these cells are actually fluorescent cells, so they light up if you get them with the appropriate kind of light, and you can image those and actually see tumor formation within these systems. Well, you can actually then use this system to evaluate the types of selenium being used and the forms, and look to see what's happening in the brain tissue. And in these mice, it's possible then to actually see what's happening. Now, here are three different forms of selenium. Now, there are actually four in this study. We had a deficient group with the mice that were deficient in selenium died off before we did any brain imaging. So they were in pretty bad shape to start out. Here's what happens with sodium selenite. You can actually see the development of the tumors in these brains. And probably by the end of about the second week, these animals were pretty dying off because of tumor formation. Another material, selenium methionine, is one that has been used in a lot of clinical studies for humans. Has also been tested looking at this. Again, you can see the tumors form. The bad thing about this one, this group died off within about a week, so there was no chance to actually evaluate the ability of a selenium to do much good there. And then the final one is back to this organic selenium cellplex. We actually do see tumor formation. It's much reduced in these animals, and they can survive much longer in terms of what's happening. So taking that information, that basic information, and using them, we can see what's happening in human medicine and are now moving, at least as a company, I'll take this to clinical observations and trying to produce a clinical trial to evaluate these potential effects. So, the form of selenium is very important. How do you get it in there? But there's actually work being done right now with the inside of this and still another way. What happens when you feed the selenium to the cow and take the milk from those cows? Now, this is an area that's being understood in Australia and New Zealand right now, showing that, in fact, you can take selenized milk produced in animals by feeding selenium-enriched yeast and bring about the same kind of anti-cancer type of activity. Which, again, there's a quality aspect to milk that we really should be thinking about and taking advantage of. But we do have, right now, and a key part of this is we have the management tools to make that happen. And so we should be all getting excited about these types of things where the science is leading us in these areas. So, this was a very brief overview. I'm the director of research at Alltech, so I get to do lots of fun things. I probably haven't been out in the world. I get to do things that most people only dream about doing. But we've actually got to the point now where we're moving nutrition forward to a whole different level. Management practices are going to a whole different level. And it's because what we've been able to take from basic science and moving forward, we feel very strongly that this is the future of all tech. This innovation is what's going to move us forward. Not only in the animal industry, but also in the human industry. We're looking at the future here. These new tools are what's going to drive the future for every one of you. In some of the training complex, you may not understood everything I said when I talked about gene expression, but you do understand the fact that this is going to improve the way you make your products, whether it be beef or dairy, and the way you feed yourself at the end of the day. You're going to be using this information in the future. So we have a role here in both animal and human nutrition and the way we think about that and move it forward. We have the ability to embrace a lot of the challenges, and you're going to hear about a lot of challenges. You saw some of them. You talked about environmental impact. You talked about health responses. You talked about fertility in animals. All of those are going to be looked at in a totally different way in the future. So we need to embrace those challenges take them on globally to see how we might move forward. The stage is set. The future is coming. And this, Solomon, is my favorite right now. We have a system, a situation now. In the next decade, we're going to see more advances in nutrition, animal management, and animal health than we have seen in the last 100 years. This is going to go fast, it's going to be exciting, and we're going to see lots of different things. The challenge for each of you is to get ready for that and try to move forward, take that information, and put it to use. These are all opportunities, and all I can say is I hope by the time you get done this week, and as you move ahead forward, you don't let these opportunities pass you by. This is the future, and these are the things that we're going to be doing as time goes on. With that, I think everybody's staying away. I don't have an Irish brogue, so I can't say good day to you in the right way. Maybe that's my strategy. I appreciate your attention this afternoon.